Welcome back. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we do welcome you back to the long-awaited return of The New World next week, which, of course, as always, you can find all the information you need and all the sources cited, high-quality, low-quality audio, video, and so much more at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, of course, in our time away, we had the 11th anniversary of the catalyzing catastrophic event known as 9/11. So we will begin with a 9/11-related story from the always important WashingtonsBlog.com. First responders, like veterans, are hypocritically used and abused to promote the war agenda of the super elite. Politicians constantly urge us to never forget the victims of 9/11, yet the EPA lied to the heroic first responders and told them that the dust at Ground Zero was safe when it was actually laced with a witch's brew of cancer-causing chemicals, which are now crippling and or killing them off. And now, Congress is slashing medical care to those first responders. As Michael McCullough writes, lawmakers turned their backs on the first responders in the budget sequester legislation Congress passed last summer to try and cut the deficit. The sequester set up automatic budget cuts of some $1.2 trillion over 10 years, and legislators were careful to spare veterans from most of those, recognizing their sacrifices in the war of terror. But apparently no one remembered to also exempt 9/11 responders and others who first answered the call after the 9/11 attacks that started that war and all of the other wars, we should add. And now, the James Zadroga 9/11 Health and Compensation Act that President Barack Obama signed on January 2nd, 2011, faces $38 million worth of cuts in 2013 alone if the sequester is not avoided, and could lose something approaching $300 million over the current planned life of the program. In fact, veterans have, of course, been treated like dirt by a government which has used them and abused them and discarded them, and many other worse examples, because, of course, veterans are terrorists now, James. That's the talking points all around. All of this after they've been used as cannon fodder for the super elite. Like Smedley Butler said and wrote, war is a racket, James, and so is the shameless exploitation of 9/11 for political purposes while abusing the heroic first responders who risked their lives for their country. James.
That is absolutely right, and I hope that the 9/11 truth movement has not forgotten that the plight of the 9/11 first responders has been and continues to be an integral part of 9/11 truth. The first responders were lied to right there on 9/11 and the subsequent days when they were told the air was safe to breathe, and that's one of the many, many lies that the government told about that day, and it's one that is continuing to kill people. So I hope that people remember their plight and will not give up the fight for the first responders who really did risk their lives that day and did fight so heroically to try to save others. Again, regardless of whatever official fairy tale the government is trying to give us and force feed us about what happened that day, we know that the first responders were there and were doing their best. And to think that the government is still, to this day, trying to throw them under the bus, it just goes to show that all of that rhetoric that they trot out every anniversary about how horrific that day was and it will never be forgotten is just political rhetoric, and they are just campaigning on the dead bodies that continue to pile up from that day, and we can't let them do that. So we can't let this issue die, and I hope that people are keeping this issue in their mind and keeping it as a political issue at the forefront, not letting it slip by, because really, we are here bearing witness and testament to what happened that day and all of the lies that came out of it, including the lies that are still continuing to kill people to this day. And the 9/11 first responders deserve our support.
James, in our related notes, will include a story from CNN where 58 types of cancer receiving 9/11 fund coverage, which, of course, we implore you to read that whole piece from Washington's blog, references those new types of cancers included, which of course now might not get the coverage. James, also in my time away, I wasn't off the grid. I was still, of course, keeping up with all the news, and it just struck me as you were speaking there. Who called you? You're one of the five people still pushing 9/11 conspiracy theories.
Right, that was BuzzFeed.com. And as I said on my Twitter feed, at least they spelled my name right.
Of course, on Twitter at Corby Report. So, James, let's move to our second story, which will hit you where you live, and we'll take it from CNN Money. Bank of Japan announces new monetary easing. The Bank of Japan announced Wednesday, that would be September 19th to us still here in the States, James, that it would expand its asset purchase program by 10 trillion yen in an effort to stimulate its economy as global demand slows. The announcement comes less than a week after the U.S. Federal Reserve announced its latest stimulus plan and 2 weeks after the European Central Bank revealed its new bond buying program. Gosh, what a coincidence. They all did it at the same time. Japan's central bank said it would ramp up its current bond buying program from 70 trillion yen to about 80 trillion yen, a difference of about 126 billion U.S. dollars. The purchases, which include T-bills and government bonds, will be completed by the end of 2013. The vote to ease monetary policy was unanimous, the bank noted. Key interest rates were left unchanged. Still, the monetary easing provided some comfort to investors. Japan's Nikkei closed up 1.4% while exchanges in Hong Kong and Shanghai were in positive territory on the day. The efforts made by central banks to spur growth come amid continued weakness across the globe. China's economy, the second largest in the world, has hit a rough spot, James.
It certainly has. And you hit the nail on the head when you say how coincidental it is. All of these quantitative easings are taking place at pretty much the exact same time. You have the European one, you have the Federal Reserve one, and this Japanese one. You also have a Chinese stimulus that was announced in recent weeks. And all of this happening at the exact same time, almost as if it was coordinated. But they wouldn't do something like that, would they? Oh, of course not. And the worst part for people living in Japan and in America and in Europe and everywhere else this quantitative easing is happening is that it's the same thing. It's the same doo-doo, different piles. It is just absolutely inflating away the currency into nothing by liquidating all of the debt and just making it into funny money paper. And now that the Japanese government is having a hard time issuing its next round of debt, it's not issuing the next round of bonds because the opposition is fighting back against it. Now they're coming along to basically just buy up their own debt with the money that they're creating out of nothing. And it works for a certain amount of time, but when that starts to catch up to them, it is a mathematical certainty that this system will start to fail at some point. So once again, I hope people are protecting their investments and their savings with something that will survive the long-term collapse. Some precious metals and things of that sort, which are the only thing that will survive through this, because at some point the paper currencies are going to collapse. It's a mathematical certainty at this point. And the interesting thing is that they're all easing at the same time, so that all of the paper currencies are devaluing against each other, so that no one particularly spikes up against the other, because that might be a warning sign. But of course, we see gold and silver and platinum all starting to spike up right now. So no surprise there as the paper money starts to become toilet paper.
James, again, in our related notes, we'll include a piece on QE3 that I believe you said is from Zero Hedge, which is a bit too heady and jargony to get into in this broadcast. But a couple of other interesting things, James, again, as I was still kind of tracking the news while I was in my hometown in West Virginia, you have a recent video on Japan at the crossroads, land of the setting sun. And very interesting, the anti-Japan protests in China over these disputed islands and Beijing demonstrations turning violent, and even, of course, Fukushima radiation hitting the West Coast, where I come to you here from Portland, Oregon. So all that and so very much more included in the show notes, my friends. Our third and final story, James, we decided we'll just do a bit of the embassy PSYOP roundup, and we'll look at two. We'll look at the Tehran Times. First, as Canada closes their embassy in Tehran due to economic problems, an Iranian foreign ministry official has said that one of the reasons that Canada closed its embassy in Tehran is that this country is facing economic problems. Quote, one of the reasons for their move is definitely the economic crisis, Iranian foreign ministry spokesman said during an interview at the office of the mayor news agency on Monday. They stated that Canadian officials have said that they have saved about $150 million through closing embassies in a number of countries. However, the Iranian foreign ministry spokesman said the fact that the extremist government of Stephen Harper is trying to politicize the issue due to its alliance with Israel, but raising irrelevant issues as a reason for its imprudent move will not deceive the people. James, do you have a brief note on that part?
I don't know what to make of this. Certainly the Canadian closing of the embassy with Tehran in Tehran is a head-scratcher. And does it mean they have some sort of forewarning about some sort of strike that's going to happen? Are they closing all diplomatic relations with a country because of economic concerns? That doesn't strike me as particularly likely. But again, I don't really know what to make of this. So it's an interesting take.
Oh, and of course, you know, no one would ever actually be forewarned about attacks coming at embassies 2 days in advance, would they, James?
Oh, of course not.
So let's flip to another country, France, stepping up embassy security after magazine publishes Mohammed cartoons. Dateline Paris. France stepped up security at some of its embassies on Wednesday after a satirical Parisian weekly published crude caricatures of the prophet Mohammed. The prime minister said he would block a demonstration by people angry over a movie insulting to Islam as the country plunged into a fierce debate about free speech. The government defended the right of the magazine Charlie Hebdo to publish the cartoons, which played off the U.S.-produced film The Innocence of Muslims, and riot police took up positions outside the offices of the magazine, which were firebombed last year after it released an edition that mocked radical Islam. That amateurish movie, Innocence of Muslims, which portrays the prophet as a fraud, a womanizer, and child molester, has set off violence in seven countries that has killed at least 28 people, including the U.S. ambassador to Libya. James, there's so very many other angles to discuss as far as all of this is concerned. And I would just kind of throw out that, you know, we mentioned it here a few weeks ago, and that's also why the Media Monarchy Kingdom has slowed down a little bit. But I took on a job as the producer of Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, which is now a nationally syndicated talk show out of Portland, Oregon. We have focused pretty exclusively over the last week covering Innocence of the Muslims, and we've had Muslims in studio. We've had them online. We've been in discussions with some of the actors who were in this movie, Innocence of Muslims. So many other angles. So again, if folks are interested in following some of the more recent work I've been doing, and I'm really excited about it, they can go check out groundzeromedia.org. But just as one last note, James, just a little bit ago, my girlfriend showed me a cartoon that The Onion published under the headline, "No one was killed because of this cartoon." And it's just this disgustingly graphic cartoon of Buddha and Jesus and Ganesh all having sexual relations.
The Onion. All right, excellent. Well, I hope people are following your work at your new job there at Ground Zero Radio. And of course, I'm also at Corbett Report Radio and all of that goodness. So James, thank you again for all of your help this week.
I appreciate it, man. I look forward to getting back on the regular role of doing New World next week. Thanks so much.
Take care.